The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Not only is Matt back, but there's a lot of gas dropped in this room today. Frank Grillo was so much fun, comes in with us. We get phone calls from Eddie Alvarez, Frankie Edgar. We laugh, we talk. There's a little cheering and booing. Matt, comment.
So much fun, fun, fun.
He may finish it here.
UFC and digital media present UFC Unfiltered with Jim Norton and Matt Serra, powered by digital media. Find your voice. And now, your hosts, Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
Welcome. Finally, the team is back together again.
Oh, man. It's like the Blues Brothers. We're putting the band back together again. I'm so happy.
We're on a mission from Dana.
I'm so excited. We're on a mission of the day.
We have Eddie Alvarez calling in. We have Frankie Edgar calling in. And we have Frank Grillo coming in.
This is
very busy show.
It's got the makings of a great show.
And I had a fun radio show on Jim and Sam yesterday morning. I interviewed Rose Namajunas, who is not available to come in because she's not here today. And also Pat Barry, her fiance, was with her. And Pat's a funny dude.
Yeah, he seems like a funny guy.
It was a really fun interview. Chatting with them. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you had a great time. And I'm almost like upset that good time wasn't had here.
I would love it to have been had here. I tried. Yeah. I did try, but it was an avail. They would probably love to have come on too. It was an availability.
And I'm sorry about the other day. It was out of my control.
Sorry you didn't feel well.
I mean, it happened too. I mean, now I know the protocol. You say text you anytime. Stop. Why are you playing with your belly?
I did a thing the other night and I just ate a lot of candy. I'm eating bad again and it's fucking impossible to stop.
On that topic.
God damn it.
On that topic, I always find that the positive, I try to find the positive in almost any situation. I had that stomach virus I caught from my little Maria, my little 6-year-old. And yes, both ends, not good. But I'll tell you right now, the positive, I think I lost like 6 pounds.
You look good.
Thank you, Jimmy. And I feel lighter and I feel like I had a cleanse. And last night I was watching a movie with my wife and there was sourdough pretzels in between us. And the little nugget ones, I didn't have one nugget.
Jimmy. Oh my
Not
God.
One. And they were good. They
would have had
so
a
lot. I
love sourdough nuggets.
Oh, listen, and these are really, my wife gets
They're
the
better than getting
tasty.
Blown.
Don't be ridiculous.
They are. I'd rather have sourdough nuggets at this point in my life. With mustard. You dip them in some deli mustard, all salty,
That's
with
good.
A Diet Coke, or in your case, a Diet Pepsi.
I like it, Diet Cherry Pepsi.
Holy sheep shit.
Yeah, but I like getting blown. But that's not the point. The point is this.
Can you imagine getting blown while you're eating pretzels?
On the toilet? Oh, I'm sorry. Did I take it too far? Yeah, a pumpkin.
I can't.
Is it too early for a pumpkin 3 minutes into the show?
I can't do anything on the toilet. I can't even chew gum on the toilet.
I do everything on the toilet. Get a lot done on the toilet, including texting both of you guys.
That I can do.
Texting Chris the producer at 2 a.m. because I couldn't, I knew that, you know, hey, it was only getting worse from there. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But it was a 24-hour thing.
Did you vomit or no?
Vomited. Big time. More vomiting than the other end. And it was
it was because your kid was sick? You didn't get food poisoning?
I'm pretty sure because my kid didn't, we didn't eat. My kid had it, and then I had it. It's like, you know, same thing, like 24 hours. And that's it. You know, I trained this morning with a few of my guys. I'll tell you, Pete Drago-Sell felt like I wronged him the way he was attacking me this morning. Holy shit. Oh, my God. Best he felt in ages. I'll tell you right now. I go, dude, you should jump into some grappling tournaments, motherfucker. Guy was attacking me. Fucking pit bull. But what was I? What the fuck was I getting at? Oh yeah, man, dude, one of those little pretzel nuggets lead to 20. I'm not doing. I did the right thing, Jimmy.
Dude, I feel my stomach right now. I really am a pig.
What's today's date?
It's the 10th.
All right, the show comes out the 11th. Let's just pretend it's the 11th.
It is the 11th.
Okay. I'm gonna do the right thing with the diet now. Yeah, that's a lot. That you did. Why don't you believe me?
I do believe you. Actually,
you didn't. I looked away.
Here's why I looked away, because I'm thinking about how bad I still feel about what I ate. So I feel like whenever you're in that place where you just ate something shitty, you feel bad about what you did.
It now everything makes sense. Why your insides smell so bad? Maybe it's the change of diet.
Here's what happened.
Oh yeah, what?
I accidentally broke wind before the show, and Matt's acting like it was bad. I disagree because the air conditioner was on, so Matt got it before I did. No. Which is, and you're welcome. I didn't even get it until Matt did. I let him enjoy before I.
And
did.
There was almost some like innocent. Just casualties.
Yeah. You called them into the thing.
You know, the girl Brittany next door. What does she do? She runs the Stand Up New York?
Yeah,
the comedy
she manages
club?
The club.
She manages Stand Up New York. The comedy club. Yeah, she's a good egg. She didn't deserve what I brought her into.
Though, but it didn't stink when she did.
So Jimmy stunk up the room. Let the listeners know. So Jimmy gassed this place out. Chris, the producer, you're indifferent. You're Switzerland between me and Jimmy.
Right.
How was it in here?
It wasn't good.
It was not good at all. You, no. And Jimmy, he's trying to be polite. So what did I do? What did I do? I just want to know. I told Brittany she left her cell phone in here. So she, you know what saved you? It was a little bit before she got in here because she was on the phone.
Oh, I don't care. I'd go in there and crop dust her place.
Dude, you fucking take a dump on her desk. Absolutely. You're Jimmy. You're fucking Jimmy Norton.
I would say that.
All right, dude.
By the way, we had a debate the other day. Not a debate, a discussion.
Oh.
They've announced a lot of the fights in for July 8th.
Ooh, hit me. Where are they? Could you put your shirt down? Do you look fat?
Yeah.
Next to me?
Same. I look fatter.
No, you don't look fat.
You don't look fat.
No, next to me. You look great. I'm big. I'm wide.
Who do you think? Because Dillashaw Cody is the co-main in that. Now, I was talking about what in Vegas. There's a whole bunch of fights that were announced. What else was announced?
Are they in front of me?
Do
you have them in front of
I have it here. They announced Verdum Overeem for the third time. They'll be fighting.
I want to talk about that in a second. Go ahead.
Anthony Pettis versus Jim Miller.
Pettis, a great fight.
Called for that fight.
Well, that's definitely a good fight. For
Robbie
sure.
Lawler returning to face Cowboy. That's official now. And obviously the TJ Cody fight.
What? You did it again? Motherfucker! What am I? I know I'm not crazy.
Matt, you summoned it. It was like, why are you talking about this to me? It comes. It's like saying Candyman three times.
Dude, I want to click my heels like fucking three times. This is bad today. And I'm happy. I'm so happy to be here too. I can't wait till Frank comes in to our filth.
I hope he walks.
I'm like,
right
why
in.
Our filth? I didn't even let nothing out.
I'll blame you. You blame me. We'll see what he believes. Will you believe me or the big
You know what? Fuck it. Let's blame Chris the producer.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
But who do you think? Is there any main event ideas you have?
Keep this going. Keep this going. Keep it going.
Okay, cool.
Keep it going. Hold on. Keep it going.
Maybe. Oh, he's calling Brittany.
The perfume?
Okay.
We're on air. I'm sorry.
Hold on. Don't let her spray.
No, fuck that.
Let her walk in first and see if she notices. Don't say anything. Just tell her to come in.
We need you, Brittany.
Don't. Hold on.
Hi, Brittany.
Dude, hold on, hold on before you spray it.
You don't smell anything? Brittany,
it's not bad. It's not bad, right?
What is she doing, Chris the producer?
She covered her face with
spray
the sweatshirt.
Spray it like you're macing me. Spray it like you're macing Jimmy's ass.
What's your perfume?
Thank you. Oh, not over my Pepsi.
Oh, that's great. You're going to go home later and have to explain why you smell like perfume.
Just do a couple more sprays. Not towards Chris's ass. It's right through his a-hole. Go ahead. Thank you, Brittany.
That's very nice.
Brittany, you're a lifesaver.
I don't smell it.
Thank you. I hope I didn't disturb you.
No, it's okay.
Thank you, Brittany.
It
smells nice in here now.
No, it doesn't.
It smells nice. You're saying Brittany doesn't smell nice?
Cheap bag and your cheap perfume. Remember?
Oh, man, I'm sorry to interrupt, guys, but it was really Jimmy's a-hole that ruined everything.
So who do you think
everything.
The main event's going to be, dude? I mean, I would Verdum and... oh, my God. Verdum and Alistair the third time. Over in Verdum.
Yep.
No.
Can we talk about that fight for a split second? Only because you know I got the memory of a goldfish. That somebody, whoever said that, deserves a high 10. Excuse me. So happy to be back. By the way, I was going to argue with you. We're going to get to Overeem in a second. Before air, we got on air, Chris. I told Jimmy, because I want him to argue with me, and go, no, you're not. You're very responsible, which I am. But I thought I go to him, come on, Jimmy. I go, I'm going to be 43 in a few weeks. And I go, I'm so immature for 43. He goes, yeah, you absolutely are. I go, what the
But you are. You just burped into a microphone and said, I'm happy to be back. Hey, Brittany, come in here and smell his fart.
I guess I'm a fucking man-child,
By the
Jimmy.
Way, do you know to be U.S. president, you have to be, what is it, 40? Yeah. So you're old enough to be the president, and you just called a girl in to smell my fart.
Am I fucking...
Oh, why would I question your maturity?
Jimmy, can I tell you something honestly, though?
Sure.
If that is wrong... Go ahead, finish it for
It's me. Not wrong.
Finish it for me.
Then I don't want to be right.
I don't want to be right, Jimmy.
It is immature for 43. It is. But it's not an insult.
It is immature.
It is. But it's not an insult. Like, I'm not saying that. I'm very immature for my age. Yeah. So are you. But I don't find that to be negative.
But you pay
your bills. You're a homeowner. Yes. You're a career guy. You're a family guy. But you didn't say, pardon me, and burped. You belched into the microphone loudly and put your arm up when I'm happy to be back.
I did something. Like, I accomplished something.
You enjoyed burping loudly and making people hear it.
Oh, I like to have fun, Jimmy.
Yeah. That's fine. Right, that's very. Jimmy. But burping that is very immature.
It is immature.
Yeah, it's
calling somebody in to smell your insides is
very childish.
Is very childish.
Farts.
Why am I still laughing about it?
Because it's funny. It's always funny.
Good. I mean, let me ask you, because and I don't consider myself a comedian. I consider myself a silly guy.
You are.
I like to be silly.
You're a funny guy.
Well, you comedians, is everything? Do you like? Is that? Are you guys like that? Or no? You're more mature than
no,
that.
No. It depends on what we're talking about. No one doesn't like to drop a gasser somewhere.
I mean,
if someone farts and someone calls a lady over and walking into it, there's not a comedian alive that wouldn't enjoy that.
I like to find the silly in things and the fun in things. Sure. No?
Absolutely.
No? Isn't life too short?
Yeah.
I mean, not to?
Honestly, yeah.
Right.
I agree. I think it's a good quality.
You know what I noticed, not to get dark?
Sure.
You know, when my mother passed a year ago, right, with the cancer. You know, she had hospice and everything at home. You know, my Aunt Lorraine just literally like a month ago, you know, and she, you know, had a heart thing and she went. When you go, no matter how you go, it's never good. That's not a funny thing. It's never good. I mean, the best you could hope for is your family around or this and that.
And it's fairly painless.
Right, I'm not saying, I'm not like, you know, making any kind of huge statement right now. Like, this is not groundbreaking, but we got to enjoy ourselves, Jimmy.
Well, you know, there's a guy, Warren Zevon, when he was on Letterman.
Talk to me.
He knew he was dying. He knew it would be his last appearance on David Letterman. Letterman loved him. He gave him the whole hour with him. And he knew he was had stage four cancer. He knew he was dead. And they knew it was the last time they'd ever see each other.
Yes. On
so he said, do you have any advice for people? And Warren Zevon, I think of this a lot. He said, enjoy every sandwich. And as crazy and as simple as that sounds.
Was he was a comedian?
No, he's just a singer. But that was his advice about
being
alive.
He said, enjoy every sandwich?
Enjoy every sandwich. Meaning every moment you have, every little moment that you don't think is important, enjoy it.
Yeah.
Like all these, you're eating a sandwich, enjoy it. Like, because you're going to get sick and die or something's going to happen. And it made me, I think about that stupid little quote a lot. Because eating a sandwich is a thing that we all take for granted. We're all fucking, just enjoy these dumb things. Like this silly podcast we're doing or drinking some coffee. I'm healthy. You're healthy. Yeah. Fucking enjoy it. You're alive.
I might enjoy this too much. Like you said, it's very immature.
Exactly. You enjoy my farts.
I do.
My farts bring life to
Matt. You know what else I enjoy?
Come on.
This on the Segway. I'm not the king, but you're the
Segway
king.
You're the crown prince of Segways.
That's right. It's some fucking good mixed martial arts.
I do too.
This weekend, I am so fucking psyched. First of all, Friday night, I got a couple of buddies fighting. Well, I got this girl, Jenny Liddell, it's Longo's girl, doing a kickboxing match. And then we have my buddy, Manny Flores, who's, we call him the African Samurai. What a good kid. He's a good guy. I love that guy. He's fighting. And that's on Friday night. And then.
Saturday.
I can't wait, man. So many good freaking fights,
dude,
man.
I'm so pumped.
So many good fights. Really quick. I mean, Eddie Alvarez versus Dustin Poirier. And Eddie, we're going to talk to Eddie today.
Which is the final one of is that the prelims, the final fight of the prelims?
It's the FX prelims, yeah.
I mean, that is, I'm excited about that.
Me
really,
too.
I mean, just right off the bat, Jorge versus...
Jorge Masvidal against Damian Maia. Holy shit.
And obviously, Stipe versus Dos Anjos.
Well, you got the whole card is
it's
phenomenal.
Great,
Jędrzejczyk against Jessica Andrade. And then Miocic against... Junior, that which, by the way, we talked to Stipe called in the other day, and that heavyweight, his first fight with Junior is one of the best heavyweight fights.
I was just watching it the other day, and they both really had their moments, man.
Amazing fight. And I felt Junior did win it.
Yeah.
That was
fair. But
was
I mean,
great fight.
But
fight.
Stipe was in it, and Stipe had his moments where you think, I want to see, I'm very interested to see how it's going to play out now. Is it going to be very similar? Is it, what is going to, who's going to make the proper adjustments off of that first fight. When, I'm sorry, when was that again, that first fight?
About 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, hey, man.
Which, 2014?
That's about right, let me see.
Because since then, I mean, Stipe really has been a fuck. Son of a B. This is going to be so bad. Look at this. That's the laugh of an evil villain. Oh, I don't know. I'm a champ. I'm a team player. I don't know. This is bad.
Not into it today. Huh?
Oh my God. This is bad. So what does a mature person do? Pretend they don't smell this?
No, they might go like, oof.
They might go, ooh.
They wouldn't call in other people.
Yeah, I guess they would. Oh, man.
I'm so happy. It's all that candy I ate last night. It's all those M&Ms.
It's really bad today.
Oh, thanks,
Jimmy,
buddy.
Jimmy, it's bad.
Oh, thanks, man.
Their first fight was December 2014.
It was 2014. Yeah. What a battle that was. And I'm looking forward to every fight on this card.
I really, I'm so happy that my guys are fighting on Friday night.
Where are they fighting?
Where are they fighting? In Brooklyn, actually. Yeah. I got to find out where. I'm the last minute guy. You got to understand, when I get done training in the morning, my black belt Jay Gershon's up there. He's got the car running. I run out in flip-flops, and I'm carrying my shoes and my socks because that's... I made it to the train with like literally a minute to spare.
You did.
I'm just the last minute guy. What does that have to do with anything we were just talking about?
Nothing.
Okay.
I think our guest is arriving.
Oh, what a great time.
Yeah.
Good. We're going to talk to Frank.
Do we want to let him in and then we'll get... Because Frankie's going to call in a minute. No, excuse me. Eddie Alvarez is going
to
call
in. What do you want to do? You want to see what he wants to do?
Well, no. We have Eddie calling in shortly.
Oh.
Yeah.
We'll bring in Frank and tell him we got Eddie Alvarez calling in.
Yeah, man. Let's bring Frank in.
Is he early or no?
Frank's a fan, man.
He's a few minutes early, but yeah, I think he's into it.
See what he wants to do. He wants to come on in?
I think he's going
to
come in.
Bring him in.
Yeah. The great Frank Grillo.
We have to have a water for him.
Yeah, we got
to I got this water, and he's a healthy dude, man. This guy's got, he's 51, and he has abs of a 18-year-old MMA fighter. What's up, Frank?
What's up, my brother? Good to see you again, man.
You good?
This is Jimmy Norton.
How's
it going, man?
That's Chris, the producer.
Hi,
jump on in over there,
yeah,
man.
Sorry.
Jump on in. Put those headphones
sorry
on.
Sorry if it smells in here.
Yeah,
what's
dude.
Smell, man? What's going
you're,
on?
It's not a good thing.
Stinks.
And it's Thank not my you. Insides. Jeez. What's up, Frank?
Like a bunch of alcoholics. Yeah, it's bad in here.
This is the great Frank Grillo from Kingdom fame. If anybody ever saw the series Kingdom, it's on. You know what sucks? The only thing that sucks, I got so into this show, The Kingdom, when they gave me the first DVD series last, when did we meet, Frank?
Oh, you came down to this last year. It was last year.
Yeah, it was last year around this time, I believe.
We did the
LA episode of Looking for a Fight, and we visited the set of Kingdom.
Yeah.
And myself with Dana and Dean Thomas, and we met you and the whole crew over there.
Yeah. It was a good time.
Went out to Morton's that night.
Yeah, we had some fun.
Fucking
and Dana,
love Morton's.
And Dana paid.
Dana always.
Okay.
Look at Frank was going to arm wrestle him up for the bill.
By the way, I never know when you go out with someone that always pays. Like Dana does pay. Dana whips out like a fucking $8,000.
You want to know the rule?
What?
If you're the richest guy at the table, you always pay.
Yeah?
That's but don't you feel as a friend, like, I always want to put in money. I always feel bad. Like, I don't want him to think I'm taking kindness for granted. Like, I expect you to pay.
Yeah.
So I never know what's the protocol.
Yeah, no, you shouldn't expect him to pay, but he should pay.
Do you do the phony wallet
No, you reach? Definitely go no. to, you fake to reach for the money clip. That's what I do. I go, no, Dana, yes, no, yes, no.
Sometimes I pay, like, at a dinner, and like, I know, like, if he's pulling his wallet out, he knows what he's doing. I'm like, I'm not going to, it's like, okay, I'll get, you know, I'll buy you a drink.
Speaking of dinner that night, those Mortons, they got that bread that they
it's
put
the
on
the table.
It's the
best thing ever.
They got and listen, look, I mean, this guy lift up his shirt and depress us all.
No, I don't need,
Frank.
I don't, yeah, no, I don't
need bread.
He's got, he's got the abs of,
you don't need the bread.
No, of a 21-year-old, Matty S.
Just 12 of them.
I've never had abs.
No.
Okay. No, is it nice? I've never had them.
It's okay, man. I don't know if you like washing your clothes.
Seriously, when's the last time you had a carb?
Yeah.
It's like stepbrothers.
I drink a lot of wine.
Yeah,
there's carbs in there. No,
how about so you eat baked potatoes?
No, I don't eat potatoes.
No.
You know what I eat? I eat yams.
Yams. I like a sweet potato. I'm not a big fan of a yam.
No, isn't that the same thing?
Is it?
I'm an Italian. Well, I'm Italian, so we call them yams. I don't know.
Oh, maybe it is.
What?
I don't know.
You got me with the yams.
I don't know. You like a yam?
I'm not a big yam man.
What do you eat? I don't eat yams. But a sweet potato I just got into.
Sweet potato.
Fucking awesome.
But, all right. But also, not to get off the sweet potatoes and the yams. Besides, I want to get back to Kingdom for a second. But yeah. I'm a huge, anybody that knows me knows I'm a huge Marvel fan and comic fan. And for the people that don't know, Frank was Crossbones in Civil War. And he was also, same character in Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier, yeah.
Those were two. And know what's great about those? Those are two of like the best Marvel flicks.
I still think... And I haven't seen all of them, but I still think Winter Soldier was the best movie.
So good.
Because it was the story that, I mean, so Redford, it was just a great movie.
I know. Robert Redford was in that one. Did you see Winter Soldier?
No, I didn't.
You have to see that, Jimmy.
Who plays, who is it about?
Captain America.
And that's Chris.
And it's
wait a minute.
Great.
Chris Evans, right? You, really?
Chris Evans?
You don't know Captain
America? No, is that Chris Evans who plays him?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, I've interviewed Chris.
You know who Captain America is.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a comic. I got caught stealing a Captain America comic when I was a kid.
You
like
did?
Captain America number 3. Yeah. From a comic book store.
Yeah, Evans. Yeah. Evans is a tough kid.
Yeah. That would have been a good steal. He's Captain America.
I know. It would have been a great one. X-Men 94. I had a shitload of good ones that time.
You did? Uh-huh. I wasn't a comic book guy.
Really?
No, never, ever.
And what about the martial arts? Did you get into that for the acting?
No, I started, let me tell you. So, you know, I wrestled in school and then always kind of boxed. And then when I moved to L.A., it was like 91. One of my buddies from my wrestling team said, hey, man, I'm doing this thing called jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's that? Is it Japanese? He goes, no, it's Brazilian. I'm with this Brazilian dude, Hickson Gracie. And that was like in 93, 92.
Yeah.
So I started doing jiu-jitsu with Hickson in 92 in his garage in the Pacific Palace.
How amazing is that?
Frank, we got to go to the phones.
We're getting back to that.
Interviews. Oh, cool. We got Eddie Alvarez on the phone. Eddie, how are you?
I'm excellent. What's up, brother?
Good to talk to you, man. It's been quite a while since we have spoken, and you're fighting Dustin Poirier in Dallas this Saturday. How are you feeling?
Great. We're out in Dallas now.
You are down there.
Weightcut's going good, feeling energetic. I'm a Maserati.
Okay, we haven't talked to you in a while. Last time we saw you was before you fought in New York, and I've been wanting to. Obviously, we have to ask you about the Conor fight. I wanted to ask you when you walked in because I couldn't. Was it more than you thought it was going to be? The actual moment of fighting in the Garden.
No, man. I've been asked this a bunch of times, of course. So I had a great time. I had a great time leading up to the fight. It was all real enjoyable for me. To not complicate things, I got hit with a punch. And anybody who ever fought kind of understands this. The media don't need to complicate it. I don't want to complicate it anymore than it was. I got hit with a punch, and I did a lot of stupid things thereafter. That rarely ever happens in my career. Rarely.
Sure.
And I just kind of forgiven myself about it a couple months back, and we moved forward.
Yeah, yeah. Did he hit harder than you thought he would? Because people have said that, you know, for all of this big shit talking about, but they say he does throw a hard punch. Was it more than you expected?
Yeah. Well, it was the timing and the speed of it. I think was what was surprising because he counterfoot. And I threw a punch, and I got hit with a punch in between. So, I mean, when you're a good boxer, you have good timing, it's kind of like you feel like you got snuck because it's a punch that you really didn't see. So it was more the timing and where it came from was what surprised me.
And how did you handle that loss after? Was it one of those things where you're like, okay, it was a title defense and you lost the belt? Did you grieve that for a while, or how was that for you?
Yeah, I grieved too long.
You did.
I'm sort of my biggest critic, and typically coming off losses, I do well. I've lost championship belts. I've won them. I've bounced back a number of times in my career, but just the magnitude of the fight, the shit talk that was going on, it just kind of definitely was a bigger, bitter pill to swallow than most. But I'm happy where I'm at right now, and I think that loss is going to turn out to be one of the better things that happened in my career.
Yeah, Eddie, I read that, excuse me, I read that you said somewhere that it was very freeing, almost, it felt freeing, almost like when your worst nightmare, like, came true. almost like you felt like you were like when you had that dream where you're naked in front of the school or something like that. I mean, could you explain that, how it felt? So was that
not a school?
In school, in front of a school. I guess I guess I don't want to misquote you on that.
Naked in school. Is what you meant.
Naked in school.
Yeah, you can never teach again.
What? He's gonna be getting arrested, Eddie. you said it. You know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly I'll probably get slack, and I've gotten slack for saying that, but it's a feeling that I had. It was liberating. I've been afraid of that moment all my whole career. You know, like I've been probably afraid of that moment for 13 years now, like that happening. And I realized when it got over and the fight got over that everything was kind of still the same. And I was fearing something that it was all really unnecessary is what I'm saying, to feel the way I felt for the past 13 years, because at the end of the day, I'm doing something I love to do, and they're the consequences sometimes when you step inside the cage long enough.
Yeah.
But it was definitely liberating, and if you can't understand it, you probably never fought, and you probably never made yourself vulnerable to that many people.
Well, let me tell you, Eddie, I definitely understand it. I started my career off in the UFC by, I think I was the first guy ever to get stopped with a spinning back fist from a dude, from a guy
that.
Who dresses like a pimp, and he was wearing Speedos when we fought. So Sean imagine Carter. Opening your eyes and seeing that dancing above you. That was brutal. And it was with the last 15 seconds of a fight that I was dominating. And it was humiliating, and it was such a highlight. I still see it once in a while. It was a highlight clip from just for years and years to come. But the best way, I mean, from my experience, to take care of that is to get back in there and kick somebody's ass. How are you feeling for Dustin?
I'm excellent, man. I feel like I was saying, it was a liberating feeling. So, like, going back into sparring, there's not really much to hold back because the fear is sort of gone. So I feel like I could be myself. I could do things that maybe I wasn't doing because I was afraid to lose, or some kind of tension was there that wasn't allowing me to fully be myself. So I think this training camp, I just sort of let loose, man. Just throw things that I don't normally throw. Take caution to the wind and do some things that I used to do when I was 18, 19 years old. And it sort of made fighting fun again for me.
Eddie, when you say your worst nightmare come true, do you mean the humiliation of that feeling? Because you have lost fights before, and it's one of those things that you guys deal with. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, it's just the capacity. Like, I went to the Madison Square Garden a couple, maybe a month or two ago. Me and my wife went to go check out the Bon Jovi concert, and I walked in there and I immediately was just like kind of in this different realm. I was angry. It all came back. I'm like, man, it would have been nice to shut this place down and blow the roof off this place. I just feel like I didn't realize the capacity of the moment that I was in until it was all over. So you know, it was a little rough.
You know, and I've never had anything on that scale. I remember when I first started doing stand-up, this is back in 1990, I did something that was an important set for me, and I remember bombing horribly and walking off stage. I bailed out early. I cried on the way home in the car. I'm like, I'm a fucking failure. I'm not good. It's a confirmation of all my fear. But then the next day, I remember thinking, it'll never hurt this bad again. Like, this is the one where you faced it. This is what you were afraid of. It was this validation that you weren't who you thought you were. And you know what? Here you are the next day. You're okay. You can do it again. So I wonder if it's something like that where it's never going to be that bad again.
Yeah, I mean, this is fist fighting. It can get worse, brother.
Oh, you look at it like that. Okay. Now, I'm talking about the emotion of it, though.
We're not throwing jokes at a crowd here.
No, I mean,
really bad.
No, I mean the emotion of it, though. Not the physical, obviously. I've never been kicked by a fucking guy with an Irish accent.
Yeah.
I'm just saying the emotion of something never being that bad again.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so not. I definitely hope so not. I don't feel the way I felt afterwards in the drive. It was a long drive home, and it was only to Philadelphia. So yeah, I don't imagine things could feel worse than that.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, this game is full of ups and downs. I mean, you just went from capturing that title, man. I mean, that was one of your best performances ever. What you did to RDA, Dos Años, yeah. I was there live for that, Eddie. That was a thing of beauty. And I think they just showed a clip of that the other day when you were laying into him. When you had him hurt, man, you had the killer instinct, man. You were on him, and you even tried that flying knee where you got cross-eyed for a split second. You got out, you got up. I mean, no one,
yeah.
You know, that was such a great fight. I mean, look, I look at it like Luke Rockhold, man. He went from beating my guy Weidman and having the best night of his life, and then getting stopped by a guy that he destroyed. He beat Michael Bisping. I was there for both those fights, and he beat him in Australia that time with ease, and then he lost his title to the guy that he beat. And listen, this game, if you're not a mentally strong person, this game will bring you to your knees and keep you there.
But Bisping too, like, he's a guy who I thought was done.
Oh yeah,
and something clicked in that guy. And he shouldn't be where he is. I mean, it's amazing to me.
Oh yeah,
it's
perseverance.
It's the other side of the coin. It's like you can be out. Like you can, like, people can think, oh, this guy's washed up. He's done. I'm amazed by where he's come in such a short time. That, you know, at his point in his career.
Eddie, I don't know if we told you, we have the great actor Frank Grillo in studio with us. So if you hear a third voice, it's not Chris the producer.
That was me.
He's sitting there looking at us.
I think I'm going to be. I think I'm going to be at his fight too. I think we're tying in. We're tying in Kingdom, the show, with that. We're doing a promotion there.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
When you getting in?
What night is the fight? It's the
Saturday
night. Is it 13th?
Yes.
I believe it's the 13th.
I think we get in on the 11th or the 12th. Yeah.
Eddie, you ever watch Kingdom?
I'm not a big movie goer. I think
it's a TV show.
Honestly, I get addicted to them things. So like,
yeah.
If it's already like on demand,
yeah,
I'll end up staying up till 4 in the morning and watching.
I'm the same way, yeah. Man. I don't watch. I don't know what's on television. It's ridiculous.
I find one thing and I binge watch it. But then I wound up going out. Like, here's what I was watching. Boy, I don't want to say this on a fucking MMA podcast. I was watching Feud about Bette Davis and Joan Crawford.
It's great.
Oh, really?
I know it is.
Really? And what did you watch?
I watched Feud about Bette Davis and Joan Crawford.
Okay. Boo! Yeah, right. Boo this guy. Leave. Me and Frank are doing the rest of the show.
Frank thought it was great, though, right?
I was kidding.
Oh, God damn it. God damn it, Frank.
Oh, shit,
it
man.
Really is good if you want to know what's going on in old Hollywood.
I bet.
But then I forget. Like, I'll watch a bunch of episodes of something, and I just forget to finish the series.
Well, Eddie's got more kids than me, so he's busy.
That's true. You are busy with the family. What are you watching at the moment? Is there anything you're currently stuck on or addicted to, Eddie?
Oh, man, I'm not trying to get booed like you just did. Do I really have to tell you?
Yeah, please.
Tell us, please.
It couldn't be worse than Feud.
All right, there's this thing out right now, 13 Reasons Why.
Oh, wait, my wife's watching
about
that.
About the suicide, right?
My wife's.
It's like my one son's 12 years old, and it's like all throughout school, so my wife's like, we have to watch this. And it was, I don't know, I have mixed feelings about it, but it was good. It was captivating.
I haven't watched it. I watched a minute of the first episode, and it wasn't a documentary, so I thought, but I'm like, maybe I'll go back and give it a shot. If you're recommending it, I'll go back and give it
a shot.
My
wife just started that. She goes, you want me to? She's like, my wife's like, because we watch things together. She's like, do you want to watch this one? I'm like, yeah.
Well, parents probably like it because when it comes to a kid committing suicide, parents probably, all right, what can we look out for?
Yeah, it's a bit controversial.
Is it?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
So you liked it, Eddie? You thought it was well acted, or what didn't you like about it? Or was it just too sad for you?
So when the kids walk past the TV, I mean, the majority of the series is about suicide, and the controversy is that it glorifies suicide. And it does if you look at it that way,
right.
but if you look at it on a positive light, it just kind of teaches kids in school, like, the shit they say to other kids has a real effect on them. So, like, if you're a good parent, you tell your kid, like, don't fucking tease the heavyset girl, or she possibly may go home and do something terrible.
Right.
So, like, you can look at it either way, but I tend to lean on the side of being a little more positive and learn a lesson from it. So it's good in that manner.
And it's such a different world now. We don't even know what it's like for these kids growing up with this whole social media shit, man.
It is
Instagram,
constant,
the Facebook, and people could attack you. And it's just, I mean, we know a little bit
Matt,
yes.
My one son's 12 years old.
Okay.
And he'd been asking me for 2 years to have Instagram, and it was a big fight. No. And it wasn't until about 6 months of lecturing him on letting him see my social media and what people say,
yes,
and how to take it, and just lecture after lecture on the way to school until I said, all right, now you can have your Instagram. Now you understand how this fucked up world works. And now he just got it at 12. So, like, I don't believe in a lot of this social network stuff, but I think at a certain point there is a good side to it if they understand what they're getting into.
You got to stay on. I got three sons. I mean, my youngest ones are 9 and 12. Man, we are on them all the time because, you know, as much as they know, they don't know that much more, and so they're vulnerable to
it. Is it scary as parents? I'll ask all three guys because I have no kids. But the amount of creeps that have access to kids now without even being in proximity of them.
You have no idea. Right? I did a movie called Disconnect a while back, and it was about just this. It was about social media bullying and how it affects. It was a story of, and I had a kid who did that, who kind of bullied a kid on social media, and the kid wound up trying to kill himself.
In the movie.
The long story short is I went to, like, research a lot of this about how vulnerable kids are. But just putting the computer on and leaving your camera open, you can be hacked into your computer. Kids can be hacked into their websites, and the kids are vulnerable and so you do need to be diligent when your kid's on the computer. Yeah.
There's a famous picture of Mark Zuckerberg, who obviously started Facebook, and in this office picture, he has a piece of tape.
That's it.
Over his computer mic and over his computer camera.
That's it.
Like, not even thinking of it, but I'm like, I should probably put one.
No, they say what's the best piece of equipment you could do to prevent your kids from getting into trouble on the computer? And it says it's a 50-cent roll of tape. Because you put it on the microphone and you put it, that's how they get into you.
That's crazy.
Isn't it crazy?
Man.
So now, do you monitor his Eddie? Do you monitor his Instagram account and make you check all his posts?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have to say it. He's not going to watch Unfiltered, so yeah, I can say that. Like, what I think at one point he tried to change his password on his phone, and I gave him so much shit that, like, that password never changes from now on. And, like, here and there, and people may have mixed feelings about this, but I go right in his fucking phone. I read everything that he's texting. I don't give a shit. My parents would have done the same to me growing up. They want to know who you're hanging with, what you're doing, because there's a rule I read a while ago is that we tend to become the average of the five people that we're closest to. We tend to become the average of that, of them human beings. And I live by that. So I monitor closely who my kids are around, who they're hanging with, and who they're around, the majority of the time.
Yeah, I mean, look, checking the phone, people say, well, it's invasive, but it wasn't available when I was younger. But it's like, if you have somebody that can access not only other kids, but, like, adults, who the fuck knows what creepy adult is talking to someone? You got to check the phone.
Yeah. And I seen
kids. It's essentially a peek into their subconscious mind.
Yeah. And I've seen cases where on those Dateline shows where, a little girl thinks she's talking to
another girl, right?
Little boy or something, a cute boy, looks like a surfer, and it's really a big fat pedophile, and like, you know what I mean? Yeah, man, I seen that shit. And it scares the hell out of me. I got three daughters, but my oldest is 8. I'm keeping her off there for a while.
Yeah.
You got three daughters. You going for the boys?
Nah, man. I am so happy with my girls that if I had a fourth, I'd hope it'd be another girl. I swear. I don't gotta raise a man. I just gotta love my girls. I gotta make sure they don't got no daddy issues, which they're not gonna have. And I'm teaching them already. I'm teaching Angie some jujitsu and got them messing around. So they're gonna be dangerous. Yeah.
So you got three daughters. You have three sons.
Yeah.
And Eddie, how many kids you got?
He's got four.
I got four. I got three boys, and I got a baby girl who runs the whole goddamn household. She's the youngest, and she bosses everyone around.
How old is she?
She's 2.5.
Oh, she's probably got you wrapped around a finger, man.
All of us. All the boys.
Oh, that's so great, man. I have so much
women
fun
around her.
Oh, that's great.
I'm so, me and Chris are the only two that are have no kids, and he's married.
Yeah.
God, what a fucking shit life I lead. Yeah. Happy and
well, you know, there's two sides.
Yeah, exactly, Jimmy. Really, you come in here talking about the big heinies on your face. Yeah, please,
that
Jimmy.
Is a good point. It all comes out in the wash. I may not have the macaroni thing on my refrigerator, but I did have a fat ass on my face.
The macaroni thing. I have that thing on my refrigerator. Oh, shit.
All right. Gosh. Well, listen, man. Eddie, we're always psyched to talk to you. We'd love you to come back in when you're here. Fighting Dustin Poirier this Saturday. I'm glad your weight cut is going well. And you are the final fight on FX. And I asked why, because you're a main event guy, you're a main card guy, and then somebody said that that's such a great fight.
Somebody's right next to
you. That's going to cause people to get... Oh, that was...
It was fucking me!
But you said that that will get people
This is what I said, Eddie and Frank, Christopher Ducey.
So far, am I quoting you
correctly? No, because I was saying, we were saying, how is this... Not on the main card. First of all, the whole card is amazing.
It's phenomenal.
But I go, how is this particular fight between Eddie Alvarez and Dustin Poirier?
Number three against
number
nine. I
mean, this could headline a card. But then I said, I go, Jimmy, I get it. More people, the last fight that they want to show on FX is going to have to be a money fight, man. It has to be a bond burner because then people are going to go, this is what I'm getting. I'm buying the pay-per-view. That's why they did this. So that's what I feel.
Yeah, we need to get their heart rates up and get them emotional so they start coming in or going in their pockets.
Well, hey man, you got my money. I'm psyched. I can't wait for this fight, Eddie. And I wish you best of luck,
Eddie. Good luck on Saturday, man. And we'll talk to you on the other side of it. Okay.
Thanks so much, fellas. Have a good day.
Take care, man.
Take care, man. Eddie.
Yeah,
Eddie's a good dude, man. I mean, that's really are you familiar? Are you do watch the mixed martial arts?
Yeah, you know, Eddie.
Well, I've been at the UFC before with you guys.
Yeah, and we it's funny because McGregor. McGregor came to my gym to train with my buddy Chris Van Heerden, who's 10 WBC, I think, 12 WBA, because he's a southpaw, when he was fighting Diaz.
Okay.
So we watched Conor box. And he can't box. He's not a great boxer. He's got amazing timing. He's got amazing speed and timing.
Yeah, and that's what did he say? Like speed and precision will beat any whatever his
timing is. Yeah. He really understands.
And I think that's what Eddie was
accurate,
just saying too.
Accurate, yeah. Great counter puncher.
But against Mayweather, that's a
problem. Not a shot.
If you're not a good boxer,
I don't think. I mean, in the cage, he'd kill Mayweather. But in the boxing ring, you know, you're talking about one of the greatest defensive fighters that we've seen ever is Floyd Mayweather.
And you don't think he'll lay a glove on him? Or if he does, it'll be a glancing blow.
You want to talk speed and timing? I mean, watch it. Watch Floyd Mayweather. But, you know, listen, McGregor shocked me in time, so.
Yeah.
You're listening to UFC Unfiltered with Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
Are you hiring? Of course you are. Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Of course you don't. Posting your job in one place, it's simply not enough to find quality candidates anymore. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. Well, here's the good news. Now you can. ZipRecruiter.com. You can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Twitter and Facebook, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. You post once, watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or annoying calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, you rate them, and you hire the right person. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by Fortune 100 companies and thousands of small and medium-sized businesses. Now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/unfiltered. That's ZipRecruiter.com/unfiltered. One more time, try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/unfiltered.
So getting back, because right before Eddie called in, you were talking about training in Hickson's garage.
Yeah.
And that is an experience.
In 92. Yeah,
that was amazing.
1992. Where was that? An amazing thing.
In the Pacific Palisades, where I now live. That's an interesting journey. But yeah, he had just opened up the studio on Pico, and it was a bunch of Brazilian dudes. Do you know any of those guys, the Hickson's guys, like Limon and
Probably by face. Yeah, that was like the generation before me.
Yeah, it was before you.
Yeah,
because
right there.
I'll tell you how long ago it was. So this thing, the UFC had started, and his brother Hoyce was training at his studio, and Hoyce was coming to roll with the black belts with Hickson.
My first seminar was in the summer of 1992, and it was I went to Horion and Hoyce in Waterbury, Connecticut.
Right.
At Ron Kalowski's Jeet Kune Do thing. It was at a gym they rented out. And it was before the first UFC. And I've said this before on here and other places where they were talking about the first Ultimate Fighting Championship, about how it's going to be on pay-per-view and if we knew anybody. And I'm thinking they're full of shit. But I fell in love with jiu-jitsu that day.
Me too.
Because my father did like Wing Chun Kung Fu. And every time I got into a street fight as a kid, I'd start off with like a chain punch. And then as soon as I got into... the grappling range, I just double leg and would just get a guy's head and put it in my knee, and there goes the Wing Chun. It was, it wasn't really street effective or whatever. And so then I'm like, wait, there's no forms, there's no katas, it's just taking limbs and gaining positions that's best for a fight. I go, I need to learn this. And then shortly after that, Hensel Gracie came.
Right. I was addicted to it. I mean, I was really addicted to it. But he went to do Vale Tudo. The Vale Tudo that he's in Choke, the movie Choke. Yes. You know that movie?
Oh, you got the documentary. You got to see that.
Yeah, well,
Hickson. That's when we were training with him, when he went there to do that Vale Tudo.
Oh, wait a minute. Is that where they show him in the water? And they show his amazing stomach when
that's
he's breathing?
That's what he does. That's
I did see that, yeah.
That's a good one.
What is that breathing called? I mean, that where his stomach is going in and out like a cartoon almost.
Yeah, I mean, it's a technique where you'd bring all like your breath in. Yeah.
You also see him doing that, speaking of Marvel movies, in the Incredible Hulk, Edward Norton's one.
Yeah, in the beginning. That's right.
Trying to have him control his anger.
Hickson
Gracie is in the beginning of the Incredible Hulk.
And he controls his heart rate. That's what he does, basically.
Can you breathe like that? I can't breathe like that.
At the time, I was learning how to do it, but,
Wim Hof does that. Joe Rogan's interviewed him. He's that guy, the Iceman, they call him or whatever, where he can handle freezing temperatures. You know that guy? He has like world records for sitting in cold temperatures.
How do you learn you're good at that?
You want to know something funny? I just did a podcast with Gabby Reese. You know Gabby? She was a professional volleyball player. She's married to Laird Hamilton, who's the big boards, the big wave surfer. He's a
familiar. Yeah.
They have this lifestyle. He does all his training in freezing cold water.
Why?
I don't know.
It help or does it not help?
Well, he's 50 and he looks like he's 22.
I wonder what it does for that, because I hear cold. Being in cold is very good. I've seen enough fighters that do it.
Yeah.
Where they'll sit in a cold tub. Or is it a mental thing where it wakes you up and it makes you feel tough? Like, I don't know what it does.
It forces blood to your organs, essentially. Yeah. Like, it forces your body to protect the most important parts of you.
How much do you need, do you think?
To be in cold? I have no idea.
Because I tried that thing, again, Joe, that fucking and it would hurt my right leg a lot. I did it 3 times, and I've read mixed reviews. I've heard it helps. I've heard it does nothing.
You have to do it a lot.
But does it help?
I mean, it helps in the immediate, but it's like everything, like chiropractics. I mean, you just can't go to the chiropractor once. You know?
Okay, so cryogenics does actually help. Is that what it's called?
It helps. It helped me.
That was after my time
of
fighting.
Once in a while, I'll do it because I still train every day, so I get sore.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Now, as a martial artist, what do you prefer to do? I mean, you might like it all equal, but what do you prefer? Like, personally, ever since I got done fighting, I haven't really sparred a day in my life. I'll do mitts. I like glove drills. But hard sparring, like I used to fight, not so much. I trained this morning. I love jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
I need it, or else I'm going to go nuts.
Absolutely.
But what gives you?
Yes? Box. Every day, box 2 hours a day. Every single day.
And two hours a day?
2 hours a day. I box with Justin Fortune, who trains Pacquiao. He's Pacquiao's conditioning coach. My other partner is Jose Navarro, was an Olympian. This kid, Chris Van Heerden. I spar a couple days a week still.
Okay.
Not crazy. I won't go crazy anymore because I got a bunch of floaters in my eyes. So you keep getting
the
hit.
Dots,
a
you
bunch
mean?
Of floaters.
Yeah, the dots. Because I got those sometimes.
Yeah.
If you look at white.
So you can, I take it easy. You don't want to get too many shots to that. Yeah. But I love to spar. And
well, let me ask you, 2 hours a day. So if you're shooting, what is your sleep schedule?
Well,
like?
Well, for instance, this season on Kingdom, the whole thing, I fight Matt Hughes.
Yes, I hope you win.
So me and Matt
violently.
Me and Matt.
I'm only kidding.
Me and Matt fight. So the whole show is about that. The whole 10 episodes.
Alvy.
Alvy's comeback. Yeah. So what I would do is every day I got up at 4:30 in the morning, went to the gym. I boxed. I would train, do conditioning. Like I was just training and then go to work.
This is the third season?
This is the, it's really the fourth season. Yeah. It's the fourth, we did 10, 20, and then 10. So it's theoretically, it's the third.
Where could people watch it really quick?
It's Audience Network on DirecTV, and then it's DirecTV Now, which is, it's a kind of their version of Netflix. But the unfortunate thing, and this is our final season, the unfortunate thing about the show is, because DirecTV has tried to establish or is trying to establish itself as a Netflix or an Amazon, they never gave the show to a secondary network like a Netflix or an iTunes.
Man, I know. I really enjoyed it. Dana White loved it. And he doesn't like anything.
It's aside from the MMA aspect, it's a really well-written, well-acted show. It's really great drama. And it's kind of sad that even Eddie doesn't know about it. You know, like, like a fighter doesn't even, like, the show just never got a chance.
Hey, like I said, they gave it to us. They gave us a DVD. So we started watching it. Dana binged, watched it. And Dana doesn't like anything. Dude, I tried to get
He hated Warrior. Like, I was in the movie Warrior. He hated that movie.
I enjoyed that too, though.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, but Kingdom was very good. I enjoyed Warrior.
Yeah.
I really did. That was with Warrior. It was with Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
And,
I love Tom Hardy.
Joel Edgerton.
I played, again,
the coach. I was Joel Edgerton's coach. And they were brothers. Yeah.
Beethoven, like the music. I love that.
That's from Greg Jackson.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, I went and lived with Greg Jackson for like a month and a half.
He trains Beethoven? With Beethoven?
Well, he used Beethoven. He does all kinds of interesting things about, you know, he does string theory. I mean, he's brilliant. He became a great buddy. He was the technical advisor on Kingdom.
Yeah.
So let me, I'm still fascinated with you waking up at 4:30 to box.
Every day,
the ability to do that. You know what
you
do?
You open your eyes and the first thing you do is you put your foot down on the ground. I swear to God. Otherwise, you stay in bed. You put your foot down immediately. As soon as the clock goes off, you put your foot down and you're like, okay, I'm up.
I get up. What I do is I wake up and I'll go turn the alarm off. Then I'll usually sit in my phone and check Twitter and the news because I got to do radio in the morning. But I get back in bed for 10 minutes and I sit there. And I have to get up and I have to be somewhere.
Yeah, never getting back.
How the fuck do you, what time do you go to bed?
Sometimes 1 in the morning.
And you'll get up at 4:30?
Sometimes for the hangover.
And something tells me you're not one of those napping Italians, are you?
Never.
I am.
Are you? You could nap?
I nap on the train. Oh, listen.
It's like good. It's 20 minutes.
Like, I'm not getting up at 4:30, but I get like this morning, I got up at 6:30, which I think is pretty decent. And I had to get a roll in before I jumped on the train. I live in Long Island.
Right.
So it takes me a little bit, like an hour to get here. But usually on the train over here, I'm napping.
Oh, on the train, that motion. Yeah, it's like being in your mommy's belly.
Exactly. But, I need that training in the morning. But so you're doing it how many days a week?
Every day.
Sundays too, Saturdays?
Yeah, you know, like Justin will always be training a fighter. We'll do conditioning. Like we'll go out to UCLA on Saturday at 6 a.m. We'll do conditioning and stuff.
What do you do for conditioning? Just run?
Oh, no. He does a whole thing, you know, that with on the stairs. We'll run around the track and then we throw in balls up. He trains Pat. He's Pacquiao's conditioning coach. He has this whole different circuits that he does. It's kind of amazing.
Do you sleep well?
I've never been a fucking good sleeper. I sleep like 4 hours a night.
Don't you always feel like, I always feel drugged. I'm always fucking tired, man. Don't you always
feel like, what do you eat?
Just regular food. I don't eat that many carbs. I eat fairly healthy.
Like, what do you eat in the morning?
Egg whites. I was having...
What about the yolks? That's where all the good stuff is.
Oh, okay. You know, I probably should have the yolk, but there was that whole thing where yolks cause cholesterol.
Nonsense.
Well, it is nonsense now.
The whole cholesterol thing is
it really?
Oh, my
God. But people have heart attacks from cholesterol, don't they?
No, they don't have heart attacks from cholesterol. They have heart attacks from plaque in your heart. So talk to your doctor about this, but I don't want to get into
No, dude, it's interesting.
There was a whole thing about cholesterol.
The whole cholesterol thing is, you know,
the fish oil is good for that, no?
Absolutely, but the medical community, the drug community at large, is responsible for the cholesterol fear.
Okay.
And food, you know, egg yolks are not.
When you eat egg yolks, like I love a good egg yolk, if you want the truth, you have egg yolks. I don't have bread with them. I'll have some grilled chicken. So I like to dip things. You know, whatever. I enjoy a good dipping. So for breakfast, I'll have a piece of grilled chicken. And when I have eggs with yolk, I'll fucking just dip that, it. Eat them, a little mustard.
That's great. Yeah, yeah. And it depends where you're getting your chicken and where you're getting your eggs.
Yeah.
You know, if you're buying it from packaged in the grocery store and it was in some fucking bin with other chickens eating grain, it's not really that good.
Oh, right. The chickens eating grain.
What does your food eat for food?
Yeah. Fuck.
Yeah.
What does my pizza eat for food?
Well,
does anybody know?
How about the cheese? Where does the cheese come from?
I don't know, but I know where it's going. I'll tell you right now.
I can't think that far. I can't go back that many layers. I can think like one level.
Yeah.
Like, all right, that's this doesn't have cake on it.
It's a lifestyle, man. It's a lifestyle. Yeah.
So for lunch, what do you eat? Sometimes I don't eat. I eat more almonds than I should. But do you snack on?
I'm big nuts. I eat nuts and
I'm afraid of diverticulitis, though. Diverticulitis.
You sound like you're afraid of a lot of
things. That's not scary. The things I should be afraid of, I'm not like, I don't wear condoms.
See, that's a problem, man.
I misplaced fear.
Bread, man. Wear condoms.
I know. I throw my condoms out. I'm careful of egg yolks. So, you'll eat almonds. But what else do you, what do you eat for dinner?
For dinner, grass, little piece of grass. I like the way the you know, Asian people approach food, which is small portions of protein and then a lot of vegetables and other good stuff. But grass-fed meats and free-range chickens, and I like to know where my food's coming from.
Okay.
And, you know, all free-range eggs. I know it sounds crazy and a little, you know, but it really makes a difference. And, you know, I try to keep my kids healthy that way.
You cook your own stuff? I can't cook for shit. I don't know how to cook.
Cooking's not so hard, bro. It's fire and food.
There you go.
I mean, everybody.
I mean, you don't have to be a gourmet cook.
I have a grill I've never used. I don't know how to use my grill.
It's the best.
I'm the worst.
Jimmy, I'm bad with that too.
I don't know how to use a grill. What do
you mean? You got kids. Who's cooking?
My wife cooks. And she cooks too well. And
she likes to cook on the grill?
And she likes to keep me chubby because of my charm. She knows my charm, Frank's abs, that's the problem for my marriage.
Absolutely.
I don't need that nonsense.
My wife could give a shit about abs.
Oh, you're
really?
Funny.
Yeah. She's like, you're ridiculous.
Oh, you're funny.
I don't have your abs or your charm, but I'm willing to pay for it. That's all that matters.
Oh, man.
So your wife doesn't care about your abs?
Either do I. I mean, abs is kind of a byproduct of just, you know, not eating
back
bread.
To you beating up Matt Hughes. Too, or no?
I did beat up Matt
now,
Hughes.
Now, did that happen
yet on
the show?
You want to see a picture? You want to see a photo?
Yes.
Show
you photo? Now, that episode already aired?
No, of course not.
Oh,
no.
All right.
Wait, is your wife helping that too? Or is she like...
No. She thinks...
So wait, with the comeback of Alvy, is that that's this season,
that's
correct?
That's this season.
So it leads up to you fighting Matt Hughes?
Yeah.
All right. And he plays Matt Hughes.
He's Matt Hughes.
Okay.
9-time world champion. What is he? How many times? How many champions?
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Guess. I don't know. But definitely multiple time world champion.
That's a good shot.
Yeah. That's the end of the fight.
That's a great
fight. Let me tell you something. He's fucking that guy.
Tell me.
I've grappled and I've big strong guys. He's got some simian strength, like probably the way you are.
I fought him.
I know you did.
Okay,
I
mean, what'd you think? What'd you think won that fight? You thought you won the fight? I don't want to put you on the spot because I feel like
I feel more
Paisans.
No.
He got his hand raised. I don't know if you remember the fight.
I do remember the fight. I do remember the fight. And
listen to me. I know you're friends. I don't want to make it uncomfortable.
I'm Team Sarah.
Are you friends? Did I throw him on his head?
I know you did.
No, are we friends?
Now listen.
He threw me too. I don't want to stop.
He's strong though, right?
Let me ask. Very strong.
Very strong. I love him.
I'm not going to make things awkward.
He's like, to me, he's the same guy. A beautiful, like no ego, kind of cool, funny guy. And very, you know, very accomplished guys. They're both incredibly accomplished at the sport. And so I will fight both of you right now.
No.
That's the best compliment one man can give another man. He's strong.
Yeah,
it's really weird for us. That's the greatest compliment you can give another guy.
For athletes, like I've played all sports.
Hey, listen, to tell you the truth, I enjoyed fighting him.
Yeah,
I enjoyed the fight. I thought it was, there's always things you could look back and say, I could have been done this a little bit different, that a little different, but it was satisfying. Everything was satisfying. You know, I feel for myself in a sense where I backed up whatever I had to back up, and I feel like there was no losing face, or even though I didn't get my hand raised, it was a good fight.
It's a great fight.
They got fight of the night,
and that's
fought.
Yeah. And that, by the way, that's the fight. I mean, as a spectator, that's the fight game. Any night it could go any way. I mean, look, the other night, I don't know if you guys watch boxing, but Klitschko fought Joshua, right? Now Klitschko got knocked out.
Oh yeah,
but
I've
up until
that.
The point he was getting knocked out, and it's a 41-year-old man who, by the way, looks like he's 20.
Yeah.
He was winning the fight, right?
What round?
He fights a certain style. I think it was round 8. He fights a certain kind of Russian style where his hands are like this, and it's hard to kind of catch him in an uppercut. It really is, because he's way back always, but his hands are down. He's very kind. He got caught.
Yeah.
Boom! His head almost came off his shoulders. Up until that point, he was winning the fight, right? Beating a 25-year-old Olympian.
I can't watch boxing. I watched Canelo Alvarez against Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. It's the first fight I've watched in a while. I mean, look, he destroyed him. I've never seen a guy. And look, and credit to where it's due, the guy didn't go down. I mean, what a tough fucking chin.
Oh,
he's not a pussy.
Epic chin.
Amazing.
But again, he's trained at the gym where I train.
Chavez Jr.
has the skills, but he, you know, listen, as a pro fighter up here, if you don't have it up here, you know, when you're at the big show, I mean, you can't beat a guy.
What was he doing? I talked about this the other day where he kept it was you know, because he was stronger up against the ropes, and he was getting Alvarez against the ropes, and then he would put his head in almost.
That's like how he fights.
And he would almost do this rock'em sock'em robot.
And by the way, so Nacho Berestein, who trained him for the first time, one of the greatest boxing trainers of all time, wants him to fight differently. Doesn't want him to do that, right? Especially against Canelo. Canelo spars, takes a lot of punches. He's always against him. He knows how to fight there. He doesn't. As soon as he puts his head down, Canelo knows what to do to him. Now the problem is Chavez Jr. knows he can take a punch. He's taken a lot of punches. He's got a great, epic chin. But at the end of the day, if you're not throwing, every punch he threw, Canelo threw right. six back. So.
Yeah, he was amazing. His counter punching was amazing. And then they announced at the end, Triple G.
Kind of cheap. I didn't like that. It was kind of like
it
WWE.
It was so cheesy.
Yeah.
I saw that too. I fucked. Didn't I say I hated that?
Like the whole thing was a build up for that.
It's like boom, 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 boom. And he walks out from the back. If they had
it felt
the
corny,
come
man.
Up,
it did, right?
It felt corny. And they were trying cheapened. To knock. They're trying to knock down any Conor Mayweather talk. That's what people have been talking about. It annoyed the shit out of me.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Mayweather, yesterday I heard him say the only fight he's interested in is McGregor.
Hey, man, that's going to be.
Well, then
they money.
Should just sign the paperwork or fucking stop it already. I'm tired of hearing about it. Fight or don't.
No, wait, and did you.
Jesus Christ, fight September of fucking 10th. You don't have to fight the 16th. Who gives a shit?
Right. Did you say that you're going to the fights this weekend in Dallas?
I'm invited. We're doing the whole promo. Our premiere, we're launching it from that UFC fight.
And now, when is the premiere?
The premiere is May 31st, but our premiere, the show.
Oh, okay. Sure.
So my problem is I'm going to the Cannes Film Festival, so we're trying to work out if I can get there first.
Are you familiar with the champ, Stipe Miocic?
A little bit, yeah.
And you know JDS, Junior De Santos?
I don't know him. I think he's...
Oh, yeah, you've seen his fights?
Yeah,
okay.
This fight is going to be bad.
And they fought before, and it was a war.
Yeah.
This whole card is amazing.
I want to see Ioanni and Jacek against fucking Jessica Andrade. Is going to be a great co-main event.
I mean, man.
That Angela Hill war she
had. I'm looking at it. I cannot wait for the... And listen, being a jiu-jitsu guy... the Damian Maia versus and I really enjoy Jorge Masvidal.
I love
the way that dude, that guy. And you know, did you hear his quote or no? It's all, we have it somewhere. Don't make me read it. Where is it?
What are you saying? Come on now.
What's coming on May 13th? People ain't ready for. If it was being sold on DVDs, you would make half an hour line. You'd make a half an hour line to get this DVD because it's going to be brutal. If you don't like seeing violence, don't fucking tune in May 13th. Because what's coming on May 13th is going to be violent. It's going to be some shit.
Masvidal said that?
Yeah. The same way I told you about the cowboy fight, it's going to be violent. This is not PG-13. This is not rated R. This is XXX. You don't like those type of films, don't tune in May 13th. That's all I'm going to say.
That's a good quote, except for the DVD line. You didn't need that.
Yeah, that fucking threw me off.
By
too,
the way, this is going to be amazing. Picture an 8-track. We don't watch DVDs anymore. Half-hour DVD line.
But his point is, it's going to be... Now, this is it. Look, he's fought a bunch of violent guys.
Yes, he has.
And he strangled them. Could he strangle? Is he going to strangle him? He is the Hoist Gracie.
Damian Maia
is Hoist Gracie 2.0. He's the Hoist Gracie from back in the day. In the modern times, people know what he's going to do. He's still doing it.
Yeah,
how's
yeah,
he? And he's doing yeah, it. Yeah. I could show you. It's basic techniques,
right?
He's got it. And he's a big. He's a big 170 pounder, a big welterweight. He fought at middleweight, and he's strangled a bunch of dudes at middleweight. And you know, so he's going to be the bigger dude. I mean, game bred Masvidal. He was a 155er, man. You know, and so but he looked amazing versus Cowboy at welterweight. Mm-hmm. Cowboy is also a former 155. He's fighting a bigger dude.
Yeah, Cowboy's a big 155.
It's true. It's true. And Masvidal's not a tiny welterweight. It's just that he's fighting a pretty big Damian Maia.
Yeah.
When is Cowboy at Robbie Lawler? Is that in Vegas in July 8th?
Yeah, that's 2/13. Yeah,
I know, man. It's a good time to be
dude, that's
a mixed martial arts fan.
Another great fucking card.
By the way, another guy, Cowboy, who something snapped in his head, and he went from kind of struggling, and boom, man. And he really.
But he seems to fall like short the one, and he did like Jacare. He just took one too many fights that he maybe could have given himself a little bit of a break.
Listen, you keep putting yourself in there.
Yeah,
you're eventually gonna lose. Sure,
but he did fight Masvidal, and Masvidal was on a mission that night.
Yeah,
on a mission. Longo called that one more than
he did.
Anybody.
You're right.
I told you that before. Ray Longo,
trainer. Called it.
He was going, he's going to stuff it up his ass. Basically, I don't know if he wanted to say that.
That was another one I got wrong.
He's not going to intimidate him. That Masvidal, man, that dude enjoys. He used to fight in the backyard Miami fights with Kimbo.
Yeah.
I mean, you could see some old.
That's right.
Things of him fighting, man. Yeah. And he just, that's like.
And Dada 5.0. Remember Dada 5.0?
Yeah,
5,000.
Is it 5,000?
Dada 5.
You sure changed him.
Could you get your datas right?
But yeah, I like that guy, 5.0. I saw that documentary.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's
You know, egg yolks make your brain better.
Do you know what's funny?
Really? I'm not kidding. Should live on egg yolks.
I have been taking these two little omega-3s for trying to get my brain going.
MCT oil, too, yeah.
I'm so tired all the time.
Really?
My brain's fucked. I'm starting to lose my memory. I'm the worst.
Really?
48, yeah.
Frank, I've been trying to tell Jimmy, I mean, personally, jiu-jitsu, but he said a kickboxing place opened up near him.
Like,
tell
literally about the, 5 doors
What
down.
Do you like, personally, what do you like about, your passion is the boxing, but in martial arts in general, yeah, whether it's
grappling too, I love grappling.
What is it do you feel, because you obviously like to exercise, what do you think is the difference between working out with the martial arts? Like I said, this, I have to roll. I love it. I'm sweating. I feel good. I'm breathing
focused.
Heavy. I'm taking limbs. I'm escaping positions.
Yeah, right.
It mentally, it makes me feel better.
Right.
What do you feel? I mean, don't get me wrong. I'll feel good off the, I say the elliptical now because I got to my knees, but I'll feel good after getting any kind of workout because you got the endorphins running. But what is it specifically about martial arts training that gives you that moment of zen, or that feeling?
You know, for me, martial arts has always been, there's a sense of community. And because the people around me are in the same mental space and have the same energy as I do, that kind of makes me, that kind of keeps me excited. I mean, that kind of keeps me going. There's a lack of ego. I mean, you know, when you're really in dealing with real martial artists, you got to kind of check your ego and focus, you know? Listen, I used to be like anybody in New York. I used to lift weights. And you know, after a minute, I'm thinking about how much I want to kill my father from when I was 7. And, you know, and before you know it, I'm like, I'm not really. Martial arts, to me, it's emotional, psychological, physical, spiritual. It's everything wrapped up in one. And it's the one time in my day, for the 2 hours, that I am absolutely focused.
It's like therapy.
Yeah, maybe I should try that instead of the gym. Because it's just the tired thing.
The gym is so...
I just do it to make myself...
Yeah,
but I was a fat fuck, too. The fact that I'm not a fat fuck anymore. I mean, I'm not in peak condition, but I was awful.
I'm sorry.
What?
I'm showing an old picture of Jimmy. You should be proud, Jimmy.
Wow, that's not you.
Yeah, we're going to tweet that later.
Wow, you look younger now.
You do, Jimmy.
That's what people have told me.
It looks like that guy in that picture, like, vomited you out.
I'll show you my driver's license. I was basically, what did my mother say? I was an unfuckable mess. All right. Yeah.
Your mother said that to you?
That's my license photo.
Who's she?
That's great.
That's my license photo.
From when?
That's about years ago. I smiled stupid. I look like Chaz Bono.
You look like a guy naked in front of a school.
Let me see. Oh, no, that's a creep right there.
Where do you think that mugshot is?
That's a creepy guy.
I see that anywhere near my kid's school. I'm just tackling a guy. I'm tackling a guy to please show up. I'll be like, look, you understand what I have to do? Look at this guy.
That gets a lot of laughs at TSA.
Can I see that really quick?
Sure, sweetie.
Jimmy, that is actually frightening. You look so much better now. How long ago was that?
Yeah,
that was a bunch of years ago. I was a dumpy pig.
Look at you. You look good.
But you know, you start to panic about the food. So the gym, the fact that I go at all, and I'm in a routine with it, and I do 4 days a week there, like, it keeps me from being awful. Like, it keeps awfulness away from me, and it put me in some kind of... So it's like,
but there's nothing better.
But that's like, too, the endorphins, like when you're rolling or when you're, you know, you're boxing, you're sweating, you get in the groove, like you release so, you get happy. It's my happy time.
And you're learning a skill.
Yeah.
And you're becoming a weapon, Jimmy.
Yeah.
I want to be a weapon.
What?
I want to be a weapon.
You should be. Jimmy, become a weapon.
I'm not a weapon right now.
Be the weapon.
Be the weapon, Jimmy.
I know. Right now, my idea of being a weapon is not is not practical in a fight.
Wait, is Frankie calling?
Yeah, we have to wrap up with Frankie.
Yeah, he's a couple of minutes late.
We're getting the wrap up.
Okay, man.
He has to go somewhere. So let's thank Frank Grillo. Really fun, man.
Thanks, brother. Great having you in.
And we're promoting. What are we promoting? Let's do it properly.
Kingdom, May 31st. Audience Network, 8 p.m. The final season. I fight Matt Hughes.
You're not going to let us know what happened.
I'm not going to let you know what happened. And then I got another movie coming out on Netflix called Wheelman, where I pay a getaway driver.
When's that?
Over the summer. I don't have an exact date.
Awesome.
And then I'm going to do something. I can't tell you what network it is, but I'm going to, like, you know, Anthony Bourdain. I'm going to do a very similar thing where I go to the very most dangerous places in the world and I embed myself in the fight culture.
Get out of here!
So I'm going to be doing sand wrestling in Senegal. I'm going to be doing boxing in Mexico. I'm going to be doing Muay Thai in Thailand.
That's great.
No wonder why you're walking around like a superhero, looking like a superhero.
And learning the culture of that, and through fighting as opposed to food.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's going to be on Al Jazeera.
Yeah. So good stuff, yeah.
I'm going to go pee, and Frank Grillo, you're great, man. Anytime, we'd love to have you back.
Hey, so great seeing you, Frank.
Always.
You're listening to UFC Unfiltered with Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
Matt, you want to know why I'm in a good mood?
What?
Guess what I got in the mail yesterday? No, not thigh highs. I own them already.
Okay.
My brand new Dollar Shave Club kit.
Oh, man.
It, honest to God, came yesterday. It's the smarter choice. Get a great shave at a great price, conveniently delivered right to your door or mailbox. Fix the copy. I got it yesterday in my mailbox. It's an awesome life hack and a no-brainer choice. Look, you no longer have to schlep to a store to buy a cheap disposable razor that gives you a cheap shave and half your dumb face comes off, or spend a fortune on a razor with gimmicky shaving tech that you don't need. Hey, sir, man in aisle 3 needs razor. It's a security thing. They come over, they unkey the razor. Stop it.
Mm.
When I use my Dollar Shave Club Executive Razor with their Dr. Carver Shave Butter, the blade just gently glides, giving such a smooth shave. Their Dr. Carver Shave Butter, it's transparent, kind of like me in a relationship. I'm kidding. I lie a lot for a precise shave. It helps prevent ingrown hairs, and it does fight razor bumps. You, too, can make the smarter choice. Join Dollar Shave Club. Don't be a dope. For a limited time, new members get their first month of the Executive Razor with a tube of their Dr. Carver Shave Butter for only $5 with free shipping. $5 with free shipping. Even if you don't like it, what have you lost? $5 lousy bucks? After that, the razors are just a few bucks a month. It's a $15 value for only $5. In your first month box, you get an awesome weighty handle, a full cassette with 4 cartridges, and a tube of their shave butter. After your first month, the replacement cartridges ship automatically at their regular price. There's no hidden fees. There's no commitments. Cancel anytime you like. How simple is that? You can only get this offer exclusively at the dollarshaveclub.com/UFC. dollarshaveclub.com/UFC.
Awesome.
Frankie Edgar. Hi, Frankie.
Hey, what's up, Jim? How you doing?
I'm good, buddy. And, of course, you're talking to me and Matt.
Hi-yo.
So, where are you right now? You're obviously in Dallas.
Yeah, I'm in Dallas. Just chilling in my room. About to head up to the presser we got going on.
And how's the weight cut?
Man, not bad. I don't really cut that much, so I'm just going through the motions, really, at this point.
Okay, so this is not hard for you.
Yeah, not at all.
And you against Yair Rodriguez, I think everyone is talking about the entire card being amazing, but of all the fights, that's the one I think I'm looking forward to the most. I think you against Yair is an amazing fight.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You know, he's got a lot of hype on him, young up and comer, and his style is pretty exciting, pretty flashy. So I'm definitely excited for it, too.
Yeah, how do you combat a guy like that? I mean, without giving away a game plan, but a guy who throws so many... Have you fought anybody that threw as many different weapons? Because it kind of reminds me, in a way, of the way you fight, where you're completely unpredictable and you do everything.
Yeah, and I don't think I have fought someone maybe quite like him. You know, I've definitely fought the best, though. I felt like a highest-level guys, but his style is something that's new, and you know, he's brought in guys that, you know, could kind of mimic it as best they can. So I'm not seeing it for the first time on Saturday.
Now, the hype behind him, is that what's motivating you? Because I remember, I mean, your whole journey, Frankie. And I remember when you were, I was actually in the same locker room when you fought Sean Sherk. And I remember people like amazed. Oh, my God, look at this. This guy's, he just beat the former champ. And then from there, obviously, you went on a tear and had legendary fights and made yourself like pound for pound legend in the sport. But now this guy's the young kid's trying to make a name for you. How does that, I mean, is it the hype that motivates you? What motivates you for it?
I mean, the fight itself motivates me. I don't want to lose to anybody, whether they have hype or not, and that definitely keeps me on my toes. But, the fact that everyone's kind of saying this guy's the next guy, it definitely adds that a little bit.
Well, how do you feel he's going to be on the ground against you? Is one of the things you want to do, do you want to try to take him on the ground?
I mean, I try to take everybody on the ground. You know, I mean, I'll tell everybody my game plan. I'm going to throw a bunch of punches, and if the takedown's there, I'm going to look for it. I'm going to try to hit you on the ground, and if the submission's there, I'm going to look for that too. You know, I mean, that's just always what I do. And, I think that's something that I'm going to test, his ground game a little bit, if I can get him there.
And, you know, Jimmy, we were saying, like you were saying before, Jimmy, well, how if Frankie fought anybody like Yair, am I saying his name?
Yair.
I'm saying, has Yair fought anybody like Frankie? Frankie's right. Got a hard guy to get ready. I mean, who fights like Frankie Edgar? You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Besides Frankie Edgar.
Absolutely.
So
I'll tell you who fights like Frank Yeager, and I've used this comparison before. Yan Jacek reminds me of you because of the variety and the speed and the never getting tired. Yeah. That's the fighter who reminds me of you the most.
She doesn't go for takedowns much, but that, just, well, maybe
just the variety of.
That's a compliment, man. That's definitely a compliment though to me, man.
It is.
She's one of the best strikers I think in this game. Period. You know. And, yeah, she definitely brings the heat, too.
Yeah, but if I watch you and I watch you fight, it's really hard to tell if it's the first round or the fourth round as far as what your output is.
Or the fifth round. Yeah. It don't matter.
It really is difficult to tell what round it is.
Or if anything, he gets stronger as it gets on. Fucking little Rocky.
Is there anything to... Yeah. You keep something. Is there anything to keeping something in the tank, or is that a myth said by people? Or are there times where you'll reserve something because you know you're not going to go two or three more rounds?
I kind of let the tempo to fight, you know, do what I do. If the guy's coming at me, I'm gonna respond. If I feel like you know he's fading a little bit, I'll turn it up. But you don't want to blow your load either, and you got to respond.
Hey, I mean, Yair's last fight was against BJ Penn, and again, that's not necessarily a true test for either of those guys in the sense that BJ had been off for so long. He may be better in this next fight, and Yair might not be as effective as he looked in that fight. So, what did you think when you saw that fight, and what do you think of BJ against Dennis Seaver?
Yeah, that fight is really tough to take anything from. You know, BJ came off a long layoff, and I mean, he is kind of, you know, moving along in his career a little bit. But I think this next fight with Dennis Seaver is a little better fight for him. You know, I think he's coming off a long layoff himself, and you know, they're kind of maybe around the same age. So that's a fight that I think BJ can be more competitive in.
Now, when you fight, like you talked about, like you just the fight is what motivates you. But you have more time in the octagon fighting than anybody in history. So when you're fighting a guy who's younger, and again, he has nowhere near the amount of time of active fighting that you do. Do you approach this differently than you would a veteran? Like I'm gonna try to get him into the later rounds, or I'm gonna do something a little bit different than you would if he was a veteran and had more of the same experience you do.
I mean, yeah, that's just tough to say, really. I don't want to put anybody in the later rounds. I don't know if having the most time in the octagon is a good thing necessarily, but, you know, I mean, I'm definitely going to try to utilize the experience when I can, you know, be strategic when I can. But that stuff all has to present itself, you know, within the fight and, you know, definitely use that savviness of being a veteran is always a plus.
And do you think a win against Yair puts you back in contention for another shot at the title?
You know, I think it does. You know, I think the outcome of Holloway and Aldo really matters on what's next for me if I'm able to get it done on, you know, when I get it done on the 13th. But, you know, if Aldo wins, it'd be tough to kind of match us up right away again. But Holloway, and if he gets it done, me and him definitely make sense down the road.
Yeah, I mean, you are ranked number two, so there'd be no reason for you not to fight Holloway if he does win. So you're kind of, I guess, hoping that Holloway wins just because a rematch with Aldo, like you said, would be a little harder to do right away.
I mean, I don't want to sit there and root for one guy or the other. You know, I'll let them figure it out. And, you know, you can't control things that are, you know, that I can't really have a play in. So we'll see what happens. If Holloway wins, I'd love to jump all over that fight.
And let me ask you, how does it feel to be on the same card as your teammate and buddy, Eddie Alvarez? Is that a good thing?
Yeah, we just talked to Eddie.
Yeah, we just talked to Eddie earlier.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this is our third time we're fighting on the same card or weekend at least. And, it's motivating, you know, during the camp, you're tired, you look across the room, you see him kind of grinding away. You're like, all right, man, we're kind of both in this for the same reason, you know, training for the same date and the same outcome. So it's motivating. Plus, you got the squad down here. It makes it more fun.
Mark Henry is with you and Ricardo Almeida.
Yeah. Mark and Ricardo, are down. And, you know, my boy, Chris Liguori too.
Of course, Chris Liguori, the New Jersey legend.
That's it, man.
He's a good dude, man. Well, hey, man, listen.
I want to ask you, sorry to interrupt you. You did a little ringside commentating. Did you like that?
Yeah, I did. It was, you know, I think it was like 10 fights, and I believe 8 of them finished in the first round, so that was kind of good.
Yeah,
make the workload a little less. But I just need more reps, I think. The more reps I get, I think I can do a better job. But, you know, just got to get in there more often.
What was the hard – because I have not heard the fights you've done, but what was the hardest part of commentating? Was it knowing when to say something or, like, I got to figure out something? Or what was it for you?
I think just keeping up with every fight. It's not like I'm commentating the UFC where I'm a little more familiar with the guys. The guys, I'm not – you know, I wasn't too familiar with them. Some of them are not even from the U.S., so – that was probably the toughest thing, just kind of getting my knowledge up on the fighters that were fighting that night.
Would you get a one sheet on them, or would you do a little research and go and watch their fights? Would you just read up on them, Wikipedia?
Yeah, I did a little bit of Wikipedia. They sent me some fight footage, you know, just try to, you know, study as much as I can. But, you know, I mean, really, you're just talking about fights, and that's what I do, you know, in my living room on most Saturdays anyway.
Yeah, when you don't go to the fights, you just sit home and you get them and you watch them.
Yeah, for the most part I do, you know. I'm not really out partying much these days. So, yeah, fight nights are always welcome in the house.
Oh, does your wife ever get sick of it and go, like, enough of fighting and let's just watch something else?
Oh, she's in bed, man. Those fights are too late. She's in bed usually.
Oh, okay. So you're up by yourself watching.
Yeah, myself. I have some buddies over sometimes, but yeah. My son always says he wants to stay up and he crashes on the couch at like 10 o'clock.
How old is he?
He's my middle one is 7.
Now, do they show any interest in fighting any of your kids or training at all?
He's got them wrestling.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, they wrestle. Both of them wrestle. My middle one's more of the goer. You know, he definitely tells me he was driving to school somewhere the other day. He said he wants to be a scientist and a fighter. So I was like, all right, man. That's just, you know,
hey, Neil deGrasse Tyson. Yeah. Neil deGrasse Tyson was a heavyweight wrestler, and now he's an astrophysicist.
I didn't know he was a wrestler.
Yeah, so, hey, that's not a bad gig right there.
Yeah, Neil deGrasse Tyson is not he's got huge arms. Like, he's a big armed guy. He's a heavyweight guy, mm-hmm. and his wingspan when his arms open, he's a giant guy. And I realize
he is a big dude.
He is, right? Have you been around him?
No, I mean, well, I've seen the pictures of him in college, or I guess when he was wrestling in college, the dude was a monster.
I did something with, it was him, it was J.B. Smoove has that show on the MSG Network. I don't know if I've talked about this before, where it was me, him, a comedian named Todd Barry, Gilbert Godfrey, Jerry Cooney, and Neil deGrasse Tyson. And there was a lot of us eating this dinner, and they film it. And it was funny to watch, because usually the boxer or the fighter is the most interesting guy at the table, because you want to hear about their wars. But in that case, it was Neil deGrasse Tyson, because he can talk about the moon and the sun. And watching a scientist kind of out-alpha a boxer without being aggressive was interesting. And I always thought that's because he's a wrestler. He's comfortable around guys like you, guys who are combative or physical.
I think you take Jerry Cooney right down.
I don't know about that. Jerry Cooney taught me how to throw a punch.
I mean, that guy's just one of the smartest guys in the world, man. I think he could probably throw his weight around anywhere. The fact that he wrestled too for sure helps.
Yeah, but just to watch it happen, because I've been around a bunch of different types of people, and the boxer is all, especially a guy like Jerry Cooney, who's a good talker.
Yeah,
Jerry's a great talker, and he likes to chat, even though he's, you know, wears a sweater vest. I would prefer he didn't. But he taught me how to throw a punch. It was really humiliating because I'm so bad at it. Like, I really do. I don't throw a punch like a man.
No?
No, I kind of curl my fist up and I just kind of hurl it and hope it hits.
You keep your thumb tucked in with your fingers?
Aren't you supposed to?
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Why? You can break your thumb?
Something can happen. Yeah.
Oh, all right. All right, Frank. You were just fucking talking shit. Right. We're tired.
Yeah.
Listen, always good talking to you, man. This fight, again, is the one on the 13th, this Saturday in Dallas, that I'm looking forward to the most. It's Frankie Edgar against Yaya Rodriguez.
Hell of a card, man.
A tremendous card.
Hell of a card.
And that's how good that card is, that your fight is second on that card. That's a tremendous... Isn't it? It's second, right?
No, I think the second fight on the main card, it's definitely a stacked card. I've been fortunate to be on some big cards, 200, 205, and that. Not 211, so I'm excited for it.
Yeah,
I mean, they love you, man. It's always a great fight. It's never a boring fight with you.
No such thing as a boring Frank Yeager fight.
No. No. All right, well, good luck, buddy. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Yeah, Frankie. Good luck,
guys.
Man.
Always good talking to you. Take care, guys.
All right, take care.
Later, homie.
Take care. Bye.
Take care.
Nah, yeah, the phone cutting out a little bit.
Who doesn't love that guy?
Right. He's
a real-life little Rocky.
Yeah.
You know, he's that kid. I mean, damn.
I've always said that, though. He reminds me of she reminds me of him, because I was more aware of him first.
Two bad mofos,
but,
man.
But it's more the constant motion. And maybe because either one of them is gigantic. Punch, kick, punch, kick. And you're right. He does more takedowns.
It was really fun? Do you know what was really fun? This show today.
Oh
my God, what a good time. Yes. Thank you, everybody. I'll be here next week.
But I'm going to go home, though. I got to watch the rest of Feud.
Yeah. Yes. 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 Warranted. Warranted. Warranted.
I thought about giving you the smattering of applause, but I didn't.
Nah, not at all. Fucking Feud. Listen.
What a great time.
Oh, man. Even with your stinking ass in here and
are you having people over for the fights?
The hijinks. I was thinking about it, but I don't think it's a good idea.
Okay.
I'm only because what just went through my house, God forbid.
Still might be sick.
Mean,
all right.
What if I would feel bad.
Sure.
So I mean, I get over it pretty quick, but I mean, I might, I'm going to, I can't, I'm watching these fights regardless.
I am too.
But wait, you want to come over? Let me see. I don't, God forbid if there's something going through my house.
No, not if there's illness.
I just birthed it to a microphone. Sorry. Again, 43-year-old man.
I know, but am I immature for my age?
No.
Atta boy. Okay. Matt just raised his cheek.
I just raised my cheek.
And check out Jim Norton and Sam Roberts on Sirius XM 103. I'm heading out very soon to Oslo, to Antwerp, Belgium, to Stockholm, Sweden, Amsterdam. And where's the other place? Copenhagen, Denmark. I'll be out at the end of the month in those five cities. I really can't wait.
I have a question that I might ask, should I ask off air, or is it more interesting on air?
What is it?
I'm having probably Ray Longo here one day when you're gone. He's going to be gone 2 days without him?
Yes. I'm not sure.
No, but you'll be good. Yeah, you are.
Maybe if it's okay with you, because he's your friend. What if I had Bobby in here when you were gone? Would that be cool? Would that be weird? Because he's your friend. No. But he's my friend too now, but he's your friend.
Bobby loves you. I'd have a good time in here with Bobby.
Yes, you would. Is that weird?
Why is that weird?
It's not weird.
Not even. I had Dean Thomas in here.
But.
I know. I saw Dean Thomas.
What?
No, I saw Dean Thomas in the comedy club when you weren't there. Dean Thomas came down to the comedy cellar.
But I'm just like, no, but he's your friend, though.
Well, yeah, Dean's your friend.
I know. It's not weird.
No.
But I mean, that'd be cool, though. What's that?
We're all men. We're all men. Totally fine. If you want, you'd have Chip Chipperson in.
No, that guy's not coming in. And I'm not doing his show.
He wants you to do
it. A couple of times you're going to be fun to do his show.
Fans are
yelling. I don't think the fans want me to do that show.
They do.
I don't know what's going to go on. I don't want nothing to do with that fucking guy. And I'm look how I was in a good mood all day. And now you bring up that fuck. He's so the opposite of you, and you look so much alike. He's like a little prick.
He's
like an angry little prick, and he's going to say something wrong. But anyway, listen to me. What a good time.
You didn't watch Matt choke out Chip?
I had such a good... I don't even want this... I almost don't want this to end.
This is fun, dude. Thank you to Frankie Edgar,
yes.
Frank Grillo, and of course, Eddie Alvarez. What a fun show, and we'll see you guys in a few days. After the fight this Saturday... You can't not look forward to these fights.
This Saturday night.
Dickhead.
And what time is the FX thing start? Let's just really quick, only because I don't want anybody to miss any. I'm going to say it right now. The UFC Fight Pass prelims start at 6 p.m. Eastern.
Allegedly.
the FX prelims, 8 o'clock Eastern, 8 p.m. Only because people miss the barking.
There you go.
Some people hate the barking, but some people like the barking. Jimmy, I'm looking at you.
I like it.
Okay. The 8 p.m. Eastern time on FX prelims is the FX prelims. So, you should do these. You should do these reads. I suck. You're looking at chicks.
I know.
All right. And obviously, the pay-per-view main cards at 10 p.m. Dude, the champ, Miocic versus JDS, and the whole card is fucking amazing. I know what I'm doing Saturday night. I can't wait. Jimmy, I will see you next week. Chris the Bedusa, we out of here.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.